Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from his time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above all the heavens.
Let's take our hymnals now and turn to number 32. Number 32, Blessed Be the Name. All praise to him who reigns above. Number 32, and let's all stand as we sing. Number 32.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day you've given us. We just thank you for the beautiful weather you supply us with. We thank you for each and everyone here today. We just pray, Lord, that we give you thanks for the blessings you've bestowed on us this past week. We just ask you to be with Pastor Gosman as he brings a message. We just thank you, Lord, for this hour where we can come and listen and hear your word as it preached and taught to us. We just thank you for once again this time that we can do this. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good to see all of you here today. I want to welcome you to Morrow Bible Church, and it's wonderful to gather again here as believers to worship our God and our King. And especially want to welcome the guests here with us today. Back in the back, Marlene, would you like to introduce your niece? Okay, Marlene's niece, Holly, is here, and she's from Worcester, and glad to have her visiting. And then we also have another ring sister here with us today. We've got Sarah here, and she was at camp this past week, counseling, and really appreciated that. And she's going to be at camp this week as well, doing the same thing, 14-1 camp. And What year are you in college here? Okay, she's going to be a senior at Maranatha Baptist University in Wisconsin. So it's great to have her here with us as well. And good to see everybody else. And also, if there's anybody online, welcome. Thanks for joining us. Let us know that you're watching, and we'd love to hear from you. All right, other announcements here. Come back tonight. We have our evening service at 6:30, and I trust you can be here. I told some of the campers that I'd like to have a report from those who were at camp this last week, and so we'll have them all come up front, and I'll be asking them some questions about the week, and so that's just a warning for them. But I'll have that tonight. Then Wednesday is our prayer meeting at 7 p.m. Just encourage you to join us for prayer on Wednesday. Thursday afternoon, planning to have some time to be out in our community here around the church, giving out some of those gospel packages that we've been working on. So Thursday, 3:30 in the afternoon to 5, we'll be doing some community evangelism, going out, talking to people in our church area. This coming week is, of course, Teen One Camp. That's for the 7th through 9th graders, I believe. And so be in prayer for that week of camp. And then next week, of course, is Teen Two. That's the 10th through 12th graders. And then we're also having a booth at the Knox County Fair next week. So starting next Monday through Saturday, we'll have that set up again in the Merchants Building. We have a tract display that we've used in past years, planning to set that up again. And then as far as staffing that goes, we're just going to try to staff the evening time slot. So the earlier times are available too, but really the evening times are the best time to be there at the fair. And so we just have one slot per day to try to fill. It'd be, 4 to 8? 4 to 8, that's really the best time. And so there's a sign up on the bulletin board just for those 5 or 6 slots next week, and we want to cover that. Again, we are passing out those gospel packages we've been working on. They have a Gospel of John and a tract and a church brochure. The tract we're using is this one here. It's called Fear Not, and it kind of touches on the pandemic that we've been through. But even that in itself is kind of a good message to give to people, and it's just a gospel presentation in that. So we packed up 1,200 of those. Thankful for various ones of you that have helped. And there are some there available if you'd like to take a few of those and use them, maybe with your neighbors or coworkers or anybody else you can think of. Take some of those and use them yourself as well. But we'll be giving those out at the fair. So last week I was at Junior Week 2 camp as the director there, and I was the king. It was a medieval theme, so the director was the king, but I'm not the king anymore. I had to remove my crown and give it to the next person next week. But we had a good week, and we did have 7 young people from our church who were there at camp, and so that was good, and many answered prayers. Last week, going up to the week, we still needed a nurse, and that was something we were all praying for. And the Lord answered that prayer the Saturday before camp, and a nurse was provided by the Lord, and she was needed for the week. And as always, people that need to see the nurse and medications that need to be dispensed, and so thankful the Lord provided for that. There were at least 3 salvation professions by campers during the week last week, and that I know about, and as well as, you know, all the campers were challenged and counseled at different times with the truth of God's Word. And so we praise the Lord for that. The weather As you know, it was rainy somewhat at the beginning of the week, but it did allow the campers to be able to get checked in on Monday. And they got all checked in, settled in their cabins, and then were starting some activities, and then it just unleashed. And so, but we were thankful that at least it didn't happen during check-in and getting settled in the cabins. But even though we did kind of have to work around the rain, I think it was fine. There were some indoor activities. We have the multi-purpose building there, which is a great blessing even when it rains. The new addition to that on the front, that was nice to have in the rain. Another little area you can be under when it rains, and so it was a blessing. It didn't rain the whole time. There were plenty of times where it was sunny weather, and you could just be outside. So just thankful for that week at camp. So we'll have some more reports tonight, Lord willing. So just encourage you to be back tonight, and like to hear from the campers as well. All right, we'll have another hymn here, number 438, Footsteps of Jesus, 438.
Scripture reading is going to be found in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 15. And for you folks, you can follow on the back of your bulletins. John chapter 11, verses 1 through 15. Let's all stand in honor of God's word, please. I'll start out, and you can follow in the highlighted areas. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha.
It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick.
Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick.
When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby.
Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus.
When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was.
Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go unto Judea again.
And his disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?
Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world.
But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him.
These things said he, and after he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep.
And said to his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well.
Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking the rest in sleep.
Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead.
Let's read 15 together, please. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Lord bless his word. You may be seated.
Let's bow our heads together as we look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Father in heaven, we come to you recognizing who you are. We thank you for your mighty power, and we are mindful of how that was demonstrated in our Savior Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead. We thank you for doing that for us. And help us, Lord, to comprehend the greatness of that power that you demonstrated in the resurrection. Our Father, we pray that you would help us to understand your truth this morning, to know it and to believe it, to depend upon it, put our hope in the truth that you have revealed to us in your word. Thank you that we have your word. Help us to see the importance of it and to hope in it. Father, you know what we need this morning. You see us all the time. You know these folks that are gathered here together, and we pray that you would encourage them and strengthen them today. We pray for those in our assembly who can't be here today. We think of them. We pray for their health, for their protection. We pray that we'd be able to be united together again soon. We thank you for our church here. We thank you for the ministry of Morrow Bible Church. And we pray for your guidance and wisdom in the days ahead. We thank you for our elders that you have placed here. We pray that you give us special guidance and wisdom in leading this church and shepherding the souls that are here. Father, we have come to worship you today, and we pray that that would be pleasing in your sight, that from our hearts we would truly be grateful for all that you've done. And even as we give to you today as an expression of our worship, we pray that we would do it with thankfulness. We know that you have given us everything, our health and our strength, even to be here today, and the breath of life today. You have provided for us, for our needs. And so today we give you a portion of what you have given to us out of gratitude in our hearts. And so please accept these tithes and offerings, and may they be used for your honor and glory. We thank you for our missionaries, and we pray for them as they serve in different parts of the world. We thank you for those who have served even here locally in this past week there at camp, and for those that are serving this week, we pray that you would give them special strength as they communicate your word individually to the campers that are there, and we thank you for them. We pray for the word of God to go forth in all parts of the world where these folks are serving, and we pray for their protection. We pray that you would put a hedge about them. We know the devil would seek to stop them and discourage them, but we pray that you would help them to continue on. Lord, we pray for our own country here. We're burdened by many of the things that we see going on, and you know all about those things. And we pray that the gospel would go forth in this country, here in our own community, in all over this country, as churches, Christians are taking your word and proclaiming it to others. We pray for opportunities for us all to be able to speak your word and your gospel. We think of our authorities here in this country. We pray for our president, Joe Biden. We pray that you would help him in his office, guide his decisions. We pray for his salvation, that he would truly humble himself before you and put his faith in Christ. And we think also of those who are serving in government, whether it be here in this state or our communities. We think of our military and our law enforcement and many others that are working in the government. We pray for them that you would protect them and guide them. And we thank you for the freedoms that we have here in this country. Please protect them, we pray, and allow us to continue on in our Christian lives, seeking to serve and follow you. Thank you for this privilege we have of meeting together here in worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's take our hymnals again and turn to number 254, Come to the Savior. Number 254, and we'll stand to sing this one. 254. Let's all stand as we sing. 254. Be seated. All right. I've asked Pastor Gossman to give the message this morning, so thankful he's able to do that. Pastor Gossman, you go.
Well, Pastor Howard had 60 kids and, I don't know, 25 staff and from morning till night, and then he was there overnight as well. So Jenny, just if he goes to sleep, just poke him a little bit, will you? And then some of the rest that were at camp all week. Now, Hannah, she's been there for the last 3 weeks, she likes to get home on Sunday and get a good nap. So Sarah, if you're awake, would you punch her to keep her awake? The camp has been a blessed ministry over the years, and we do appreciate that camp ministry. It's to the heart of our young people and those that helped and served in camp, and just encourage you when you're able to go and to serve. Now, some of our younger men were there. Norm was there this week, I understand, washing dishes, and I don't know what else he was cleaning. I don't know what all he was doing, but it's nice to have the young man doing that too. So, you know, turn to John chapter 11, we read that, those first 15 verses there in the in that chapter this morning, and we'll be looking on beyond that into some of the rest of the chapter this morning. Appreciated Sunday school class this morning with Steve Lewis, and that was excellent Sunday school class. Appreciated that, and he was dealing with the resurrection of Christ and the marvels of that, what we have in it. If you weren't here, if you missed Sunday school, you missed a good part. And I just encourage you to come and be here for that. But this morning, my emphasis on this in this passage and to point out various things within it is to show you some of the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ as He was here. We have before us this morning this passage of Scripture and many others that give us, there's many other Scriptures besides this, but give us insight into that person of Christ. We'll look at a little bit of that this morning. Knowing that Jesus was the Son of God, that we often overlook the fact that He was also, and He called the Son of Man, that He was fully a man, who felt all the same struggles and emotions that you and I feel. And that's important as we, and we'll see that even as we go through this scripture this morning. But the first thing I'd like us to look at here is Jesus' response to death. And as we go on from where we read this morning, we come down to the 35th verse, but I'm going to begin in verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, this is Mary, and then also Martha, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in spirit and was troubled. And said, Where have ye laid him? And said unto him, Lord, come and see. And if anybody ever asks you, what's the shortest verse in the Bible? This next one's the shortest verse of the Bible. A lot of you remember that. I remember that as a boy, because that's one thing I could remember. What's the shortest verse in the Bible? But it says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. It's a word for just means he was shedding tears. He was shedding tears there. As we look at this, I think this statement reveals to us one of those emotions that Jesus very intimately felt. as he shed tears there at the tomb of Lazarus. Jesus understood death completely. He had been, and certainly as a man, yes, he understood it as the Son of God. But he understood it as a man, as a little boy, he had learned the scriptures. He knew the scriptures. He knew about the fall of Adam. He knew and understood about the effect upon all of the human race that it had upon man. The sickness that comes upon mankind, the personal effect that he could see that it had on his very close friends as they were there weeping, shows how Jesus felt so deeply what the effect of death had there upon his friends, and of course he had seen that and dealt with it in his ministry before, where he healed the sick, where he had caused the blind to see. But we live in a sin-cursed world where there is disease, where there is that affects us. And even as we just heard yesterday that Pat Ogden had a younger sister that died yesterday, and she has to deal with that of a younger sister that has just passed away. So here Jesus, as he is there at the tomb, that the effects of death and upon those of his dear friends, it affects them. And in verse 33 there, and also down in verse 38, we see deep within him the emotion. It says in verse 33, "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in spirit and was troubled." He was moved in his inner person, in his inner man. It says, he says that again in verse 38. I'll just read verse 37. "Some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind and caused those that even this man that he should not have died? And Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave." It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. So here he's come to the grave of Lazarus. Here there is those around him that are weeping, and again he is touched there with the effects that sin has had upon man, and death, that is what we all have to look forward to. It's appointed unto man once to die. That's because of, if you go back into the first of your Bibles, you understand that's because of the sin of man and the sin nature that each of us have. That word groaned is a word which has the idea of there was a judging in his spirit, a troubling, an inner moving, greatly affected by the death. You know, Satan is the arch enemy of God, and had sought at every turn to have Jesus put to death, even from the very start of it. And remember the story around the Christmas story and the birth of Christ, and even throughout the time of Christ's ministry and stirring that up. Satan certainly thought himself victor when Adam sinned and the penalty of death cast upon all men. Jesus understood death completely. He felt the effects in his own person and upon his close friends. You know, he understands what we're going through. Sometimes we don't understand that, as I said, Jesus being the Son of Man, Jesus being fully man. But in Hebrews 4:15, we're told that we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Christ felt in himself those very same things that we have to go through. And so that should be a comfort to us to understand that. As he was here and lived as a man and felt those things in his own being, even as he felt that which was of death. The other thing I'd like us to see here in this passage is, and it's there in the, it's here, first of all, I'll show it to you there, and after that 35th verse, Jesus wept. It was evident to those around him how he loved Lazarus. It says, Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Jesus had a great love, it's interesting in this passage of Scripture. There are two different words that are used for love in this passage. This one is the word, as you've heard of, phileo, or the one that is from Philadelphia, the idea of brotherly love. This is a love of that we have one for another in our human companionship. There are those that we have a feeling of oneness and a companionship, and that's what they're saying here about Jesus here. They're saying that he see how he loved him. There was a love that he had there for Lazarus. And back in the third verse that you read there in the responsive reading, when it says there in the third verse, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. That's that same word. It's that same word of phileo, or translated of Philadelphia. It's that brotherly love. When they sent to him, they said, Lord, that one who you have that great companionship with, he is sick. That's the kind of a relationship that Jesus had there with Lazarus and with his sisters. There was that companionship. There was that love, brotherly love, that companionship. And so we understand with the death there of Lazarus, he was feeling that was. That was one that he had that companionship with. They had become close friends. They had him in their home. Mary and Martha and Lazarus. They'd had him in their home. They'd shared meals together, and they believed in him. When we looked at the 21st verse, this was when Martha first came to when Jesus finally came and was there. which we understand through this passage of Scripture, it was 4 days. Lazarus had already been dead for 4 days when he got there, and how long it was when he first heard, we know that he remained for 2 days without doing anything when he heard that Lazarus was sick, and we'll come to look at that. But when Martha, looking here at the idea of Jesus' love, that companionship type of love, Martha said to Jesus in verse 21, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died." She knew the power of the Lord. She had seen those that he had raised that were sick and those that were crippled and he'd healed. And so she says, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died." And then in the 32nd verse, when you drop down there, this is when then Mary comes and comes to see Jesus, who has come there to the grave. And Mary says the same thing in verse 32. "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died." They knew that he could have healed Lazarus. And so it was a grief to them that he wasn't there. And if they knew that at that point that he had delayed a couple days even coming, maybe they, and I don't know what at that point what they knew and understood, but they believed in his power. And beyond that they believed truly who he was. They recognized that he was the Christ. In fact, when we come down a little bit further in this passage, and you go down to look at verse 23, and I'm heading down to verse 27. "Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believe this. And she said, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." Those were close companions that believed him. They believed in him. They understood who he was. And as we think about this, we realize that what that companionship must have meant to Christ in his time. In our human companionship and friendships, it's a great blessing when in the midst of trouble, if you're in the midst of great trouble and in various ways, and there are those that believe in you and stick with you, isn't that a great blessing? It's a great blessing. There are those that leave you when trouble comes. I think of Paul in 2 Timothy 4:16 when he makes this statement. He says that, when he was being accused and he was under fire, he says that my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. And he says, I pray that it may not be to their charge. You know, Paul experienced those that had left him. There were many of the Lord's disciples that left him. there were those, and I'm not speaking of the 12, except we know what Judas was, but there was the time when they said, "Lord, this is a hard saying. We don't understand." And it said many left him. And Jesus looked to the 12 and says, "Will you leave me also?" Jesus, as a man, cherished human friendship. He cherished the companionship. And certainly he felt that of so many leaving him. And so here was a family that he was able to have a close relationship with because they understood him and they believed him. They believed in him. But then in this passage, there's another kind of love. When we go back again to the first verses that we read, and you go to verses 4 and 5, it says, "When Jesus heard that," this is that Lazarus was sick, "he said, 'This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby.' Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." That is not the word phileo, or that brotherly love, companionship. That is the word, it is a word for a much deeper kind of a love. It is that word that, and you've heard of the word that the Greek is agape. It's that word that's beyond human friendship. It's a word that's used in John 3:16 when it says, "For God so loved the world." He loved the world so much that he gave himself. It's a love that goes beyond human friendship. It's a love that refers to God's love. When it's speaking of that, it's a word that's used for us when how we are to have a great care for others, not just human companionship, but care for them, that we're willing to give up for them, that we're willing to do for their very best. It's a love that does the best for the individual. It's interesting that right here in this fifth verse, it says that he loved them, and then it says he waited 2 days before even going. And I don't know how far away he was, how long it took him, what the time frame it was for him to travel to get there. But it's interesting that he waited 2 days. Right after it says he cared for them, he had a desire for their very best. You know, we in our ignorance sometimes question God's love. We may think he's forgotten us. But we must understand that the love that Christ has for us is a love that is sure. It's a love that he's demonstrated in the past. It's a love that he has promised never to leave us or forsake us. It's a love that Jesus had in going to the cross for us. Steve spoke a little bit about that this morning in our Sunday school class. But it says, when Jesus knew that the hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, And that's that same word, which were in the world. He loved them unto the end. That's the love of Christ. He knew what was coming. He knew what He was going to have to go through. He knew our sin would be laid upon Him. He who was innocent. He who was without sin. What he loved us for in then was to, it wasn't just the pain of the cross, of the nails and the thorns and all that was done. It was your sin and my sin that was put on Him. He loved them. It says He loved them unto the end when He was going to the cross. And that's the kind of love that Christ had here for Lazarus and Martha and Mary. We'll look at that a little more as we go along. But let us rest in the knowledge that Jesus truly loves us. Not in our ignorance and not understand, when we don't understand what's going on, sometimes we question the love of God. And we might, as we look at this, why did you wait 2 days? Why didn't you just go? Why didn't you go and like you did to one ruler that you just, he said, Lord, you can heal my child. You just speak. And the Lord did that. Why didn't He do that for Lazarus? We can ask those questions, but we need to ask them in the sense that not that Jesus didn't love him and not that Jesus wasn't doing His best, but we might ask, I wonder why. But let us not, in knowledge, question the love of Christ. What we see next, I'd like us to look at, is Jesus' power, verses 23 and 24. Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. As I said, Jesus knew and believed, or Martha knew and believed that her brother would be resurrected in time. And, you know, that's the kind of a confidence that we have today. We can walk up here in the cemetery, and there are those that had engraved on the tombstone their confidence in Christ, their confidence in the resurrection. And this is what Martha is saying here. I know that he shall rise again in the last day. She had that confidence in his promises of what would be later. Then Jesus makes a statement in 25 and 26, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection. And Jesus looked at her and said, Martha, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. Very interesting. He also said there, I am the life. You know, as it wasn't that Martha and Mary didn't know Jesus, but they didn't know the depth of Jesus. One of the questions that Mr. Lewis asked in Sunday school this morning that I thought maybe the answer to that question would have been what I need to recognize in my prayer is that there's a lot I don't know and I need to learn. There's a lot I don't know and I need to learn. And I think what we're seeing here is Jesus in his love and care for Martha, for Mary, for Lazarus, and for those around as well as his disciples was that he is the resurrection. And that he is the life. You know, the scripture has revealed to us that he's our creator. He's the one that gave life. Life is in him. John chapter 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. In John 1:4, it says, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. And to go along with that, let us make sure we know what he's talking about. In Colossians 1:16, it says, for by him, by Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created by him and for him. He's the one that gave life. And then in the 17th verse of Colossians 1, it says, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. I have life right now because of Jesus Christ. Life is in him. My life consists because he is. So after Jesus said that, after Jesus told Martha and Mary, as he told them, I am the resurrection, then he said to them, take the stone away. Martha says, Jesus, he's been dead for 4 days. He's smelling by now. Jesus, when they took the stone away, he said, Lazarus, come forth. He who is the resurrection, he who will someday, when he comes again, as Martha said, will be the resurrection. He is the one that will bring that resurrection. And now, he speaks, and we see the power of his word. He spoke, and Lazarus come forth. He says, loose him. He was wrapped in all wrapped up around his head, his hands and his feet, and how all they had him wrapped. He was evidently able to walk out, but he couldn't see or didn't, if he was all bound up, and they said, let him loose. The power of Jesus Christ. But let's look back and see how Jesus was working for their good. See why he didn't go for 2 days and then the travel time until he finally got there. It was 4 days later, and Lazarus was already in the grave. First of all, when you go to toward the end of this passage of Scripture in 11 down to verse 45, what was the end result? It says, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen these and seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Many of the friends of Mary and Martha and Lazarus that had come there to comfort them in their grief, they came to trust in Christ. They came to believe in Him. Go back up to the first part of the chapter, to the 15th verse. When Jesus said, after He said, Lazarus is dead, He says, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Jesus says, it was good that I wasn't there. Because there's something you need to see. That's He's telling His disciples. That you might believe. They needed to have their eyes open more to His person. They needed their faith strengthened. Do you need your faith strengthened? You know, the Lord does things in our life continually. Sometimes He allows us to go through things because it's for our good, that our faith would be strengthened. And that's He saw that for His disciples. In the 4th verse, as well as in the 40th verse, it talks about that you would see the glory of God. Look at verse 4. When Jesus heard that, when He heard that Lazarus was sick, He said, this sickness is not unto death. He didn't mean he's not going to die, but it's not going to remain there. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And you could go to the 40th verse. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, if you would believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. He wanted them to see God's glory. That God's glory would be shown to them. Something else He wanted them to see. He wanted them to see and understand the relationship between the Father and the Son. Look at verse 41. Look at verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. And I know that Thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, said I, that they may believe that Thou hast sent me. There's a oneness between the Father and the Son. There's a oneness there as we understand, and we understand the Trinity, and we understand that when Jesus says, I and the Father are one. But as He prays there, He prays out loud. He prays out loud, I thank Thee that You've heard me. And He says, I know that. I know You hear me, but I'm saying this, that these here might know that You have sent me. They needed to understand more fully the depth of the relationship between the Father and Son. All there needed to understand that perfect relationship of Jesus to the Father. And He reveals, you know, Jesus reveals the Father to us. To know Jesus is to know the Father. So in this passage of Scripture this morning, we see Jesus' response to death, how it reveals His humanity and the feelings of our infirmities. That relationship of Christ being the Son of God, being the Son of Man, there's a lot that is just beyond my comprehension. But there are some things that He's given us that we can understand. Yes, He came as God come in the flesh, as we read in John 1:14. But But he also felt all those things that you and I feel. He understands what you're going through. And he offers grace. He offers, says, my grace will be sufficient for you. For those that are in Christ, for those that have their faith and trust in Christ, he's there to go with you, and he's not going to leave you. And so he's given us that confidence, and then the next thing, as we understand Jesus, he had that close relationship, the fellowship with those in his life when he was here. That phileo, that brotherly love, that love that we share together as believers. But then he also showed that much, much deeper love, a love that sacrifices, a love that does the best for the other person, even if it's going to hurt. As a child, and if your parent ever said to you, when they give you a good paddling, this is hurting me more than you, he probably says, yeah, sure. But as a parent that felt the hurt that you went through to have to give that discipline, you understand that a little better. And that was the kind of thing I think Jesus, he understood that Mary and Martha were going to really be grieving and really hurting and wondering why Jesus isn't there when I need him. And yet in his great love, he delayed because there's that they needed so much more. Yes, Jesus' actions reveals his almighty power. Just speak his word and Lazarus came forth, because he is the resurrection. He is the life. But then we see that Jesus worked for good in each of their lives. That situation was good for his disciples. It was good for Mary and Martha. And what about Lazarus? Wow. And for all of those that came. For all of those that came to the funeral. What a situation for them to come to understand who Jesus is and why they needed him, and how he was the only one that could save them in their desperate condition. There was more they needed, that people needed to see. They needed to see the resurrection of one who had already been in decay. You know, they had seen where there was ones that Jesus had healed and brought to life. But here was one that had been in the grave and already in decay, and he came back fully restored. In his love for them, he knew they needed the grief to experience maybe the true joy of the resurrection. You know, there's some of that we're not told, but just know that Jesus knows your sorrow, your sickness, your weakness. And you've heard the verse probably many times that we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. For those that love God, for those of you who are in Christ, we can rest assured that all things will work together for our good, even though we many times don't understand that. And this is what was taking place here. So that gives us a little insight into this part of some of the feelings of our Savior. May we trust in Him as we ought. Shall we pray? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Lord, help us, even in our misunderstandings and in our ignorance, help us, Lord, to put our full faith and trust in you, who is the resurrection, who is the life. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Pastor.
Let's take our hymnals now and turn to number 252. Only Trust Him. Number 252. Let's all stand as we sing. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.